I'm Gabe.
I'm James.
I'm McKenna.
And I'm Ella. And today we're going to be talking about what we read in part 2 of Fahrenheit 451.
As I was reading, I kind of noticed kind of a story that related back in 6th grade when at my elementary school, it's kind of tradition that the 6th graders play a game of kickball on the last day of school against the teachers. And kind of all your years at the elementary school, it's kind of what you look up to. And then at the end of 5th grade, we learned that we're getting a new principal. And the new principal decides that instead of just being a 6th grade exclusive game, we're going to do a entire school K through 6 Gaga Ball tournament. And none of the 6th graders really liked that. We all were waiting for this so much, and we saw every year before get to do this, and then now we don't. And kind of some kids went and talked to him, and we were like, hey, we really want this. And he's like, but I want it to be for everyone. But we were like, well, this is what we want. And I kind of think that that's kind of shows how what kind of a theme word like rebellion kind of goes into this Fahrenheit 451 section that we're reading.
So let's bring it back to the book and start off with a recap.
All right, so the main points that I noticed while reading part 2 is that Montag decided that he has to do something and begins to read the books. He takes a Bible to Faber, asking him for help, and on the way, he wills himself to remember what he reads and almost ends up looking like a madman. Faber ends up giving Montag an earpiece so that they can communicate, and at home, Montag reads a poem to Mildred and her friends, which upsets them a lot, and Mildred tries to cover it up and keeps trying to convince him that it's just a stupid book, but it really upsets them. And Montag returns his book to Beatty, and we kind of notice that Beatty seems to be very well-read through the conversation that they have. And then while they are talking, an emergency call brings the fireman to Montag's house.
Some things that I noticed is that in part 2, Montag realizes that the book he picked up from the woman's house was the last copy of the Bible, and Montag meets with his friend Faber to see what he should do. Faber tells them to wait till the war is over because he thinks the war is going to change society. But Montag wants to start a change quickly, so to ensure that Faber helps him, he starts ripping pages out of the Bible until Faber agrees. Faber then gives him an earpiece so that they can communicate. When Montag comes home, Mildred's friends are there, and he reads them a poem that makes one cry, and then they both leave. Then Montag goes to work and brings his book with him to return to Beatty. But Beatty still seems suspicious and says many quotes from books. Finally, they get a call, and when they arrive at the house, Montag realizes it's his own home.
I'd say like a theme statement that could kind of go along with this part is that it takes courage to rebel against the expectations of society. And I'd kind of say that because in a way, Montag isn't like fighting, but he's rebelling with like his like wanting to read and to like read books and yeah.
So when you said that, it kind of brought me back to this spot in the book where Montag and Faber were talking, and he goes, Mr. Montag, you were looking at a coward. I saw the way things were a long time ago back. I said nothing. I'm one of the innocents who could have spoken up and out when no one listened to the guilty, but I did not speak and thus became guilty myself. And I think that really shows that it takes a lot of courage to go against what people are thinking, what everybody is believing, and do something that nobody's done or like not a lot of people believe in. And that is his like own little rebellion in itself, is deciding that I'm not going to do what everybody else is. I'm not going to be just like everybody else or think the same way. I'm going to be different, and I'm going to try and make other people feel this way as well. And that's him rebelling against expectations and what is believed of him, the way he should act and think.
Yeah. And I'd say like kind of what Faber said was kind of interesting because he like saw that like he could have done something, and I think that kind of like sparked something in like Montag thinking like, if people like, I'm not the only one who thinks that we should be able to read books. And I thought that was kind of like a very important part that Faber said that, because I think Montag was really influenced by
it. Like inside him, he's like, well, if nobody's gonna do it, I'm going to do it, and I know that I'm not the only one who feels this way, that I'm not alone. And even then, it still took him, like, a great deal of courage and, like, confidence to be able to say, I'm not happy with the way I'm living my life anymore, and I want others to live their life better than the way they are right now. So I think there needs to be a change, and that takes a lot of, like, I don't know, like, just going back to that courage. I know we've said it a lot, but to be able to just do something so unfamiliar to you.
Yeah. Yeah,
and so risky.
Like Faber said, there's a lot of people who, like, are the same as him. Like,
who just sat back and watched.
They want to change, but they don't, like, they're too scared to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, like, kind of on page 95 even, it shows, as Faber's kind of talking to Montag, he says, like, Montag, listen, only one way out. Play it as a joke, cover it up, pretend you aren't mad at all. Then walk to your wall incinerator and throw the book in. And it also says, like, Mildred had already anticipated this in a quavery voice and kind of showing that they have to, like, hide what they're doing, like, that this is all just, like, Montag just showing, mm-hmm. like, what a book is mm-hmm. and, like, what really he, like, what he, it's not what he's going for. Like, he wants to read, but he can't.
Yeah. Gabe, you have anything to add?
No, not the moment.
Okay. Yeah, I just think also going about rebellion, and we're talking about how it's always like this bad thing, and I think it is viewed as a bad thing. Like, you think, like, oh, the rebels, and I honestly don't think rebellion is often always that bad, because think about it, Montag is trying to make people's lives better, trying to make them better thinkers, trying to have them feel real emotions, trying to make them human again. And that's his rebellion, is to go against society, to go against what everybody thinks is correct. And I think that's a good thing. I don't know what you guys think, but I think he's going against everybody, but he's trying to make a change for the better. And to me, I think that, yeah, it could harm some people, but it's for the greater good, I believe, what he's doing.
I agree with that. And on page 91, it states that, on page 90 and 91, it states that, oh, they come and go, said Miss Phelps, and again, out again, and again. The army called Pete yesterday. He'll be back next week, the army said so. Quick war, 48 hours, they said, and everyone home. That's what the army said. Quick war. Pete was called yesterday and said he'd be back next week. Quick. Three women fidgeted and looked nervously at the empty, mud-colored walls. I'm not worried, said Miss Phelps. I'll let Pete do all the worrying. I'll let old Pete do all the worrying. Not me. I'm not worried. It's always someone else's husband that dies, they say. I've heard that, too. I've never known any man killed in a war. Killed jumping off buildings, yes, like Gloria's husband last week. But from wars, no. This kind of shows that they don't really care and they don't really use their emotions that much, and that they just don't really seem to care. Like, some of their husbands are going off to war, but they don't really care about it. And they don't seem to care if they die or not.
Yeah, and I agree with that last part, kind of what you were saying, how, like, they're kind of become emotionless, and now that, like, if someone was to rebel against society, and in rebel, I mean, like, they're, like, wanting to, like, be smarter,
make
to be, like,
yeah,
like, think individually and not, like, as a whole, and I think that, like, kind of, it's, like, society's been changed in their, like, situation so much that, like, being an individual thinker is, like, bad, and it's, like, oh, you're rebelling, and I think they also, there's, like, a stereotype against rebelling that, like, if you rebel, then, like, you're bad, but I also think there's, like, a good kind of type of rebellion.
Yeah, like, in Montag's case, it's good. It's, like, he's trying to make the society smarter and, like, more happy.
He's just trying to educate them, and I think he's really inspired. Obviously, he wouldn't be so passionate about something that he thought was wrong. And I can, like, agree, like, it can be super hard to go against and seem, like, almost like a loner, or, like, nobody else is doing what you're doing, but that's what makes you a good leader, is not being able to be afraid to go off by yourself and like admit that, yeah, you feel these things and you think these things and that you think that's the way it should be and that you're ready to take action to like and take those steps to make a difference. All right, so I actually had a few questions that came up like that I thought would be good to discuss. Is like, what do you think is happening to Montag? Do you think he is losing self-control? Because like on page 97, 96, around there, was when he started reading to Mildred and her friends. And he just totally loses it. He becomes so angry. He needs to get something off. And he just can't stop himself. And even, like, on the train when he's just, like, screaming, trying to, like, remember everything. And he only notices after a while what he's actually doing. And I think that can be dangerous to him. And I think he might be losing some control. And I don't, what do you guys think about that?
I kind of think, like, it's kind of interesting how at the beginning of the book, he was like a fireman. And like, all he could think about was burning books. And now, like, kind of his gradual change throughout the book so far. Like, he goes through, like I want to read books. And now he's like, almost going like insane over them. Like he wants people so desperately.
Yeah,
it's like he wants people to so desperately like get them.
I think he just feels so like trapped and like just angry at society that like, how can you be this blind? Like how can you not see this? Why aren't you with me on this? And because I think that's almost going back to he feels so kind of alone in what he's doing. He just wants somebody to be like, just listen to me. I just want you to listen to me. I just want you to understand. And I don't know if that's him losing it or just him being overly passionate about something.
He's
but
like,
it's his whole life. It's his whole society. It's the people he's surrounded with. And he doesn't like that. He needs a change.
Yeah, he's just, like, too passionate to the point where it's, like, if nobody is going to help him, he's going to get mad.
Uh-huh.
Like, nobody goes with him, so he's, he's, like, trying to show them, but he's doing it in the wrong way. He's too soon.
And I think, like, going even back to our theme is that it takes him courage to, like, be all by himself in this. But I think that this courage that we think that he needs is sort of, like, coming back to him, and it's, like, hitting him hard, and it's, like, maybe I'm not as strong as I thought I was, but I have to keep going. And that shows even more, like, you need a ton of perseverance to be able to rebel all by yourself.
Yeah.
Okay, and then I think this was a question McKenna and I both had, is why do the women burst into tears if the words are meaningless to them? They call them stupid, stupid words, silly words, and it's, like, but they still, one of them cries over them. And I think about that, and how do you think that, like, impacts their society, and, like how is that viewed with them, and why do they cry if it's meaningless?
I think that they, like, have some understanding that it's, like,
of
like,
the words.
Of the words. But I'm not sure, though, because Mildred said all she could hear was, like, umpity-tumpity.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I honestly think it upsets them so much because they didn't realize that they could relate to them, that they could find emotion from them. And because, like, going back, it's so unfamiliar to them that realizing, because they've been told their whole life words are stupid, they have no meaning, they're just there, they were created a long time ago, and they're worthless now. And then hearing these words written in a book, and it's like, wow, they do mean something, I do feel something from them, and that's scary to them,
because
something they believe their whole life turns out not to be true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, she understands the words, one thing that made her cry, and then, like, she also is, like, the fact that she can, like, understand. And she understands, like, something that she's been told her whole life, she means nothing. So I think that's really what made her cry.
Yeah, so just to recap everything we talked about today was, like, the theme that it takes a lot of courage to go into what everybody else is doing and to rebel. And I think sometimes that courage, that you thought you had so much courage coming in, like, high strong, can come back to you, and it can just be a little overwhelming. But, like, it's important to, like, keep going on and persevere, and I think that Fahrenheit 451 is a really great example of why that's important.
Yeah. I hope you enjoyed our kind of podcast over part two of Fahrenheit 451, and I hope you come back next time.
Bye!